So we continue our theme for this month on choosing right relationships, and we're going to be thinking this morning about walking with the wise, doing wise things. Three times Brenda and myself have had the opportunity of visiting Canada, and each time we've been to see Niagara Falls. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's absolutely fantastic. The falls are about 12,000 years old, and the river that you can stand right beside just as it crashes over the falls is travelling at about 35 miles an hour. Just to watch this awesome sight of 6 million cubic feet of water every minute crashing over is absolutely fantastic. But of course, over the years, a number of people have done foolish things. The first person to go over the falls and survive was a 63-year-old female schoolteacher called Annie Taylor. And she did it on her birthday in October 2001. I don't know if you fancy... Yeah. I don't know if you fancy jumping over Niagara Falls in that. The reason that she's got the cat on the top of it is that they did a dummy run using the cat, first of all. And so they nicknamed her the Queen of the Mist after she'd done it. And now, if you go there, all the boats that take you along are called Queen of the Mist boats. But she survived it quite well. She just had a small gash on her forehead. It was 10 years later that a man called Bobby Leach followed her in the same way, but he wasn't quite as fortunate. He broke his jaw and both his kneecaps and spent 6 months in hospital recovering. Perhaps the most amazing thing of his life was not that the fact that he went over the Niagara Falls and survived, but rather the fact that a number of years later he was doing a publicity tour around New Zealand and he slipped on an orange peel, broke his leg, and from the subsequent infection, he died. So he survived Niagara Falls, but be careful of orange or banana peels on the paths, all right. But you know, as I thought about it, similar actions can happen to you and I if we're careless and foolish in our walk through life. And this morning I want us to spend just a few moments looking at Ephesians chapter 5, because there Paul gives us some quite good advice. He says this: so be careful how you live, not as fools, but those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity, doing good in these evil days. The word careful that he uses here means to do something accurately, to do something with precision and close attention. As believers, we're not called to live like the world lives. We're called to live differently. We're called to live thoughtfully and to watch just how we live our lives. We are called to live our lives with care and with a definite focus. So at this whole year, across our group of churches, we've been thinking about discovering our destiny, discerning what it is that God has a plan and a purpose for us. And so this morning, as we're coming now to the end of it, come December, we'll be sort of thinking about Christmas themes, but through November, we'll still be following, what does God want for our lives? What does God want to say to me today that will help me be effective in my Christian walk and my Christian witness? How do I act? How do I walk? How do I talk? How do people see Jesus living in me? And so I want us to think about, how do we as believers, how do we as born-again Christians show that we're walking wisely with the Lord? King Solomon was allegedly the wisest man in all the world. And in Proverbs he writes this: he who walks with the wise grows wise. He who walks with the wise grows wise. You know, there's a saying, you've probably heard it, that one rotten apple can spoil the barrel. And that's true. And it's also true in our thinking and in the way that we live. If we've got the wrong attitude, if we've got wrong negative thoughts, they can blot out and ruin the good ones in our lives. And we need to be very careful, I believe, who we set up friendships with. What we do and what we say and who we mix with has a lasting effect on our lives. You just look at the news today and you'll see that to be true. People today are paying the cost of unwise, foolish actions. And so Solomon's words to us today are, walk with the wise and you'll become wise. And how important that could be for you and I today. But it begs the question, what does it mean to walk wisely? How do we walk wisely? One commentator puts it like this: the Christian walk is not merely about choosing the right path, but how we walk on that path we've chosen. Not merely about choosing the right path, but how we walk on the path we've chosen. And I heard recently another statement that said, our walk is not just with our feet, but with our heart. Not just how we walk, but what's the attitude of our hearts. So let's have a little think this morning about what does it mean to walk wisely in this 21st century. And to do it, we're going to look at this book of Ephesians, because I think it's just full of good advice and good wisdom. In chapter 1 and verses 7 to 10, Paul says this: in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, in according with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. As we look at our lives, we see how God has shown us and showered us with his love and his kindness. Sometimes we call it and refer to it as God's grace, his loving favour to those who he saves. And we know, don't we? We can't earn salvation. We can't earn our right to go to heaven. There's no religious, intellectual, or moral effort that we can exercise or use to gain eternal life. It's only the free gift of God given to us through Jesus Christ. And then a few verses later, Paul says this. He prays that God will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know the hope of our calling and the riches of God's glory and the greatness of God's power. Paul prays for the church at Ephesus. But you know, I think it's a timeless prayer. I think it's a prayer that is relevant for you and I today in 2017 in Rayleigh. It's right for us today in our lives, exactly where we are. The call is that we would know Christ and the power and the spirit of wisdom and revelation that comes through Jesus. In a couple of chapters further on, Paul says this: God's intent was now that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Through the church, what we do. The wise understanding of God means that we embrace and that we accept God's plan of salvation for us. That plan included God wanting to save all nations, all people, all tongues, and all cultures. And Paul again talks about, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus came and was born and lived amongst his Jewish community. But we know that many times they didn't accept who he was or what he came to do. They thought it was foolish, the message that he preached. They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a conquering king. They were looking for one who would establish again their own nation and not be governed by the Romans. They expected the Messiah to take again the throne of David, and they didn't see that in Jesus. Besides, he'd become a criminal. He'd been executed as one. So how could a criminal be the saviour, the Messiah of the world? For the Greeks, they also considered the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to be foolish. You see, they didn't believe in bodily resurrection. They didn't see in Jesus the powerful characteristics of their mythological gods. They thought that no reputable person could be crucified. To them, death was defeat, not victory. And you know, that style of thinking, that understanding is still around today, isn't it? There are lots of people who believe that the good news of the gospel of Jesus is foolishness. Our society worships power and influence and wealth. How can we put all of our trust in somebody who came in humility? A poor servant who didn't own much, who never fought a fight in his life in terms of army or navy or things like that. And yet he said that those who would believe in him would receive forgiveness of sin, would inherit the gift of eternal life. It wouldn't be achieved by people doing good deeds. It wouldn't be people trying to earn salvation by buying things. But those in simple faith would find freedom and release. Our world finds that concept so difficult to understand today. But you know, for us who've accepted Jesus, for us who've asked him to forgive us our sins and to become our Saviour and Lord, we move into a new relationship with him, don't we? And we find that in relationship with him, in understanding his word and understanding his personality at work in our lives, it has implications for our lives on a daily basis. We live a wise life when we build it on Jesus Christ. And Paul again in the 5th chapter of Ephesians says this, "So then, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." I think there's just three very simple points out of Paul's words there. We're to make the most of every opportunity. We're to try and understand what the Lord's will is for us, discerning our destiny, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Make the most of every opportunity. Older translations say, redeem the time. In the Greek, there's two words I understand for time. One is chronos, which is the chronological time. You look at your watch and you say, oh, it's nearly 10 to 12, and Tony's been going on for a long while. That sort of time. Or there's kairos, which means seasons or opportunities or occasions. And the word that's used here is that second word. It's not the clock time. It's the seasons, the occasions, the opportunities that you and I have to do something for Jesus. The way that we live our lives on a daily basis is to be something that is honouring to him. We are to make the most of every opportunity. And he says it's because the days in which we live are evil days. Anybody want to disagree with that? We live in difficult, evil days. But as Christians, we're called to stand up and to show by words and actions and lifestyle that there is another way to live. There is a way to live which honours God. But we have to hear what Paul says. He says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We need to understand that time is a limited gift from God for you and I. The psalmist says in Psalm 39, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth is. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath." And James says, "How do you count and rely on tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a while, and then it's gone." Now, I don't want to be sort of miserable this morning or put a downcast on you, but we do live with limited time. We do live with limited time, and we as believers must make the most of every opportunity to speak out for the Lord. We must seize every moment and let our lives be used by God. And then secondly, we need to understand that wise people understand the will of God. We're told not to live our lives foolishly. We're not to live our lives senselessly or lacking in understanding. There's a parallel and a contrast between unwise in an earlier verse and living our lives today, just relying on God's Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us. Understanding what God's will is means that we understand His word, we comprehend what it says. It involves our mind, it involves our heart, it involves our feet, it involves our tongue and the words that we say. It involves our ears in that we listen to what God is saying. One commentator and pastor called F.F. Bruce says this: doing His will is not a matter of irrational impulse, but an intelligent reflection and action. We're called to understand what God's will is. Wise walking involves seizing the opportunity. It involves understanding God's will and putting that into practice in our daily lives. You know, it's not just good enough for us to come to church on a Sunday and then live the rest of Monday through Saturday doing what we want to do. We've got to put into practice what we believe. And Paul's third pointer to us is wise people are filled with the Spirit of God. He says this: don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul contrasts getting drunk with wine, which produces a temporary high, to being filled with the Spirit, which produces long-lasting joy and happiness in our lives. And the challenge for each one of us, I believe, today is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not a Greek scholar in any way, but I understand that little phrase, be filled, means to keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's not just one-off be filled, but it's a daily being filled with the Holy Spirit in our lives. It should be an ongoing experience that each one of us have in our lives. When we're filled with the Spirit, certain things we're told will happen. We're told that being filled with the Spirit will mean that we can speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We can encourage one another. But it also has a personal, private, if you like, aspect to it, because it goes on to say, making melody in your heart. So there's a sense in which we minister to one another and we encourage one another, just as we do in our worship. But there's also a sense that in our own individual lives, we have our own making melody to the Lord. So let me just finish by saying this, friends. Let's walk as wise people. Let's walk with the wise. Let's take hold of the opportunities that God gives us, realizing that our time on earth isn't endless. It is a limited time. Let us do the will of God, because we want to please Him above all, because He's done so much for us, hasn't He? And let's be filled with the Spirit so that we can be effective in our walk and in our witness, being controlled by God and by nothing else. So let me encourage you, walk wisely and walk for Him. Amen.